Welcome to Kiki and Kibitz.
Welcome to the Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, where this week we join Jen in Coach Shaw's doghouse and Whitney in Jen's. While everybody tries to figure out what really happened at last week's birthday party, and poor little rich Mary is trapped in her closet. Break out your Romeo and Michelle matching business women suits, because it's time to break down the Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. My name is Stacey Noel Connor, and I'll be your marriage counselor this week, along with my partner in shade, Jordan Ross Myers.
Hey.
Here we go. I love the fact that in the little montage at the beginning of this episode, Lisa is teaching her son how to sage. And I was like, Yes, I think we all need some saging after last week's episode. Cleanse thine aura. Hello. I thought it was interesting that Jen was saying that she hadn't talked to Coach Shaw since the blow up at the party, which is very dramatic. And I like Sharif. I think he's cool. He seems like a good husband. I mean, besides, you know, not being there a lot, but that's because of his job. However, I don't appreciate, me personally, silent treatment. I understand in relationships, like sometimes you're like, I can't talk to you right now because if I talk to you, I will say something mean. That's one thing to say, like, look, you've really pissed me off and we need some time apart. I need time to cool down or else it's just going to be bad. But to give somebody the silent treatment, to like not talk to them, to like go away, like that's not healthy. And I didn't think that that was very good, because that sends Jen into a spiral. And I think it also sent her even more into a blame spiral, blaming Whitney, blaming everybody else. Mm-hmm. You messed up my marriage. And I was like, no, Jen, no. As much as I love Jen and I stan Jen, I'm like, no.
Jen's excuse for her anger always throughout this is that it's because she cares too much. Mm-hmm. She's going to smash glasses and scream and throw things at you out of love.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, okay. So I wrote down when I was taking notes, it was later. It was actually when they were in the bathtubs, which we'll get to. But I said, I was like, you know, she's a Libra, but I was like, I feel like she has like a lot of like Scorpio energy, because she has, because of the way she kind of like holds grudges and she can really like lash out at people. Oh my goodness. So I found her birthday and I kind of made a chart for her on the assumption of what I can only find that she lives, that she was born in Salt Lake City. And yes, she does. She does have a lot of Scorpio energy. Like she has Mercury and Venus in Scorpio. And then she has her Mercury directly across from Mars in Taurus. So that's a lot of like push pull, like sexual tension, but also like the difference, but that would make her really wear her heart on her sleeve, which she does. But her Mars is in retrograde, which only happens every 2 years. We just had it happen this year. And so that makes her like blow up all of the sudden. And especially when it comes to like, because it's across from Venus, I would say, especially when it comes to what she says, when she cares about people, if she cares about you, if she cares about something, if she's passionate about it, that will make her blow up. If she doesn't get mad about something, it's because she doesn't care about you. That's what I'm going to say. So she's actually not wrong about that. But I will say like her moon is in Capricorn, which is an earth sign. So her emotions are grounded in a reality, like her emotions are real, but she is fiery. She has a lot of emotion. She is an emotional person. So that kind of overshadows her Libra-ness. But I do think that the Libra-ness is what allows her to then, when she comes down, to see the other side. And once she also stops holding a grudge against somebody.
Well, that does help a lot with her cause, because it's been a big debate online. If she puts it, people say she's been studying housewives. She's too over the top, too dramatic. I think I've said before, she gives me like, she gives me angry Tamara Judge vibes from Orange County, like just too much. And people have said it's fake or staged, but you're kind of saying, and Heather, who's her close friend, has said numerous times, it's not fake. That is who Jen is. So you kind of just validated that. Like, it really is in the stars for her.
I think it is. It is in the stars. And I think as she gets older, it gets tempered, but mm-hmm. also the way her stars line up, like there's a big father energy there for her. Like her Mercury and the Mars actually like line up very well with Saturn, which tends to like indicate your father. And so losing her father, I mean, we find out at the end of the episode, so I'm jumping ahead, but I don't fucking care. It's our podcast. We can do whatever we want. But we find out not only did her father die, but she had to make the decision to take him off of life support. That's deep. Like, that's tough. That's not just, that's a different level. And if
do you think she harbors feelings like she killed him or something?
You know what? Look, I've only lost a cat. I've only had to put a cat to sleep. And I still sometimes worry that, you know, I'd made the wrong decision, that she maybe could have lived a little longer. Do you know what mm-hmm. I mean? And that's a fucking cat. You know, I can't imagine with your father. Like, that would be even 10 times. And if your husband is not there, and if you're alone in this house, you know, your children, you know, one son is grown and out of the house, the other one is in high school. It's different. And I think there's a big, I think in a way, like, Housewives came at a wonderful time because it gave her something else to focus on, but also at a crappy time for her because she is going through so much. But again, a great time for her because the next season, I think she still will be her fiery self, but when she's not drinking so much, when she's been able to reflect on herself and how she acted, and maybe has gotten some therapy, maybe some anger management, maybe been able to deal with stuff and worked on her marriage with Sharif, you know, and those anger issues there, that she'll be a little bit more even keeled. She'll still be fiery. She'll still be like Jen, but like just maybe not as angry at everybody because she's so angry. She's so hurt. So
yeah, she said earlier this season that Sharif almost left her mm-hmm. for her anger issues.
Yeah.
But now I feel even worse for her because it's always the way it's said, their dynamic is that she's always wrong. She's kind of the child who misbehaves, and she's always trying to please Sharif, mm-hmm. maybe as a father figure in some sense. He's the voice of reason. But a reasonable person wouldn't abandon his wife at the funeral in those circumstances. He should be able to pick up a little more on where this is coming from.
I 100% agree. I mean, granted, neither one of us is married. We've never had to deal with any of these things. Like, it's great. We get to tell you married people what's wrong with your relationships from the single people here.
We're podcast therapists.
Exactly. No, but I agree with that. And another thing with the Mars retrograde in her chart, you know how the women have said sometimes that they see different sides of her, like when she's with Sharif versus when mm-hmm. she's not. And that's what Mars retrograde can do. That can make you a little bit more submissive at times. Or like she said that she was afraid to talk to him about these things. That's one of the things, like those things that you're really passionate about, you can sometimes be afraid to talk about with the people that you love because you're afraid you're going to push them away, which is actually something Heather talks about too. I mean, Heather and Jen are soul sisters. Like, you know,
their issues parallel each other.
Yep.
And it was funny that Heather is afraid of Jen leaving her while Jen's afraid of Sharif leaving her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because Heather's like, my husband's already left me, so I don't have to worry about that. But Jen's father left her in that sense, you know, by dying, mm-hmm. you know, so they both have like abandonment issues in a way, but it's in different ways. But I think when you are left by somebody, whether it's, you know, death or in a relationship in a kind of a traumatic way, you can be really afraid of saying the wrong thing, doing the wrong thing that they might leave mm-hmm. you. And for Jen, if she's in a relationship with somebody who reacts to her acting out by giving her the silent treatment, that's going to give her issues too.
It leaves her alone with her thoughts, and she's already in a panic.
Yeah, exactly. All right. I said I was going to be a marriage counselor today. There you go. So
I'm more of like a divorce counselor. Yeah.
You should have been a divorce attorney. You should have gone and worked for Laura Wasser. Come on.
Yeah, I'll help. She'll like help you piece yourself back together, and I'll help you like go after the assets and the alimony.
Mm-hmm. Like, we're a dream team. Yeah. All right. Well, let's move on. I was talking about Whitney. Like, so Whitney was like, I didn't do anything wrong. I was like, yes, you did do something wrong. Like, it was the wrong place. It was like the wrong time. Like,
yeah.
QAnon Sarah gave you bad advice. Like, I know last week I was like, she gave good advice, but then I was like, well, did we see the part? I don't know if they showed in last week's episode, Whitney saying, I'm going to talk to her at Sharif's party, and Sarah saying, that's a good idea. I don't remember that, because I would have been like, no, that's not good advice. Like, Sarah gave her good advice and like talking to her, but not talking to her. I think it was so hilarious too that like, oh my gosh, we ended up like recording it right after, you know, the world blew up. We're like, QAnon Sarah, there she is, storming the Capitol. Like, don't take advice from her. Definitely not.
Yeah, if you guys don't know, Drunk Sarah, Whitney's friend, is like, she stormed the Capitol, and she might go down in the history books for something other than Bravo.
Yep. Actually, to be clear, we don't know if she really did storm the Capitol, but we do know that she was at the Capitol protesting.
Yeah.
So there we go. But we don't need to talk about her anymore. I will say, though, that Whitney was pulling a classic Housewives move, and it is good. She was deflecting. She was deflecting, you know, don't take responsibility, 100% responsibility, deflect. I mean, girl, you were so drunk. You were so drunk. No.
I don't know if she realizes that. She has to. I don't, because like, it was fun. She was like blackout drunk.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she couldn't speak clearly. She was slurring and stuttering. And so I wonder if she's aware until she watched this episode, like, I wouldn't have taken it as her coming from a good place. It really looked kind of mean-spirited and trouble, like she was there to start trouble.
Yeah. I mean, and then when you have Heather on top of that, at least Heather saw it for what it was. She's like, I'm sorry. Yeah, that's not looking good. I don't think that Whitney sees it for what it really was. I agree 100%. I hope that she has seen it now and just been like, oh, I that was different than what it was in my head.
Yeah.
Because she was like, later on in the bathtub, she's like, they were, all of a sudden then Meredith and Lisa are coming at me and saying, no, 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 no. It was like, wait a minute, no. Like, Jen said, well, let's go get them. And you were like, yeah, let's get them. So, like, you don't remember all of this. Oh, my gosh. Maybe we'll get there. But I do.
Terrible delivery.
Oh, my gosh. I was like, she missed out by not being in a sorority in college. Because you learn these things. Being in a sorority has its perks, and learning how to not make a fool of yourself while drunk is one of them. Because you make a fool out of yourself, and at least it's just in college. It's not on camera in front of a national television audience.
Yeah.
But I do, I made this note. I was like, this question, I was like, what are we missing in the Heather Whitney versus Meredith Lisa kind of difference with Jen? We kind of got some of it later on in the bathtubs, you know, with, but I feel like there's still something missing there. There's still something.
We've never fully resolved what happened in the beginning of the season, which was Lisa constantly snubbing Heather and putting her down.
Yeah.
That storyline just kind of faded away, and we really don't get much resolution. And I think there's still lingering tension there. You know, last night on Twitter, they went after Lisa went after Heather on Twitter.
Ooh, she was nasty.
Yeah.
To our queen on Twitter. I was like, what? I was like, don't you dare do that to my Heather. I was like, no. I was like,
someone actually commented, bold move, Heather. Go for the fan fake. Come after the fan favorite.
You mean bold move,
Lisa coming for Heather, the fan favorite. Like, don't, everyone loves Heather. You can't.
Yeah.
Especially when she, I was kind of harsh. And I was like,
yeah, because I feel that a lot of times Heather owns it, like owns her shortcomings, or is willing to realize them, willing to talk about them. And as much as I do, Lisa has risen in my like for her.
Like, oh yeah, she's fun.
like she is, she's fun, but they're, but one of the fun things about her is kind of her snobbery. She has a Countess Luann quality about her that I enjoy, that I'm just like, okay, all right, there we go. But, but yeah, when she said that, I was like, oh, and I was like, well, she kind of has to, cause she doesn't have much of a storyline.
She doesn't.
Let's think about it. Like, she doesn't. Like, her biggest storyline yet has just been Sundance.
Yeah, which wasn't that stellar. Mm-hmm. What? Now she's pushing her teenage son's hair gel? Yeah, she doesn't. She's all personality.
Yes.
She doesn't really have a storyline. I never thought of it that way.
Yeah, we'll get to more later.
No growth.
Yeah. I mean, we'll just see. But, I mean, oh, and what she said in the episode, she said, and I quote, "In Utah, girls are good for two things, breeding and dancing." I mean, I laughed really hard. Never heard that before, but I was like, I was also like, whoa, that's that's really mean. Cause she was saying it in reference to Whitney, and Whitney's twerking, and she didn't, you know, she was being a little like high and mighty about like, she shouldn't be dancing like that. And I was like, oh, shut up, you know?
Whatever. Yeah, that was a little Countess like. Mm-hmm. She was like, it was inappropriate. We're ladies, whatever. I just think she was jealous. Whitney's the youngest, and Whitney looked good doing what, even if Whitney wasn't strong, she looked pretty, better than any of they would, better than they would have.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, it's probably a little jealousy there.
I think so. Later on, we see then Seth and Meredith being all like lovey-dovey in the bedroom. And I really wanted them to put a mic on Seth, because I was like, why doesn't Seth have a mic? Why does he not have a mic? That was just bugging me. That's a production thing. That was just bugging me. But they're all like, we're so in love and we're back together. And I'm like, ugh.
Do you buy it?
I don't know. Well, this is my thing. I do believe that they are back together.
Yeah.
You know, they're back together and they're giving it another shot. And again, you know, from us single non-married people who know so much about marriage, like, I just don't think that you go to such a honeymoon place right away. Do you know what I mean? It's like all of a sudden, like they're back at the beginning stages of a relationship before. And that's not, I mean, cool if that's true, but also we know that's not going to last. Like,
yeah. I know they're together, whatever, but I feel they really amped it up, the public displays of affection for cameras. Mm-hmm. Like, it was a little uncomfortable to watch, and we're not even Brooks, but I mean, I was like, oh. And also, I just mean, it's not in her nature to be demonstrative that way. And she was just like, she was practically feeding him strawberries and like having him like, you know, the Lady and the Tramp, they were going to meet in the middle of the noodle.
Oh my God.
Like, it was a bit much. Yes. I didn't buy it coming from them.
Dude. And then when they had dinner with Lisa and it's John, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lisa and John. Okay. So the fact that they were twinsies in their little, like, you know, Romeo and Michelle businesswomen suits. But then at the same time, it was like Meredith was like, you know, open to show off her boobs. I was like, aren't you cold, girl? Like, at least wear a scarf outside and then take it off inside. It's like the mom in me that I'm not. It's like, put on a scarf. You're cold. Come on.
The girls came out to play.
Yeah, but she's like, I'm feeling frisky. I'm back with my man.
Like, did you catch something at that dinner, though? After Meredith announced that Seth and her are back together, they all took a shot of tequila, including sober Lisa and sober John.
Oh, I didn't.
Yeah, they all cheers. Yeah, there was no mention. Like, Lisa wasn't like, oh, well, we'll have water. They all took a shot with lime in it. So, oh,
I didn't realize. No, I didn't notice that. Well, but she's a different type of Mormon.
True. She does say she gives herself allowances for veering off course.
So maybe if it was her own tequila, it was okay?
I bet you it was. Yeah. I bet you, like, maybe the editors had to cut it out, but there was a whole other scene we didn't see where Meredith is like, let's celebrate our Seth and I getting back together with Vita Tequila. And then they both like wink at the camera. Only Vita, like for
me
or more.
Yep. the food that they ate, like with the way the server was describing the burrata, was like, oh, I want burrata right now.
Yeah.
Like, that sounds good. Yeah, bring me that.
That restaurant's pretty nice. I looked it up last night. I love reading reading menus.
Mm.
And this one didn't have any prices. So I was like, oh, that's how you know it's fancy.
Ooh, yes. I want to eat there now, too. Definitely. I bet Mary's eating there if she ever gets out of her closet / bedroom.
Never going to happen.
No, yeah. She's trapped in the closet.
You guys, she has been living in her closet for the past three or four episodes, only in the closet. Like she, yep. Like her bunker, her couture bunker.
Her couture bunker. I mean, okay, it's ridiculous when she says that her clothes are in there. They're in the two closets in Robert Sr.'s room. So you're right. Robert and her do not sleep together. They're not in the same room.
Yeah, she caught that.
And then she was like, I'm thinking about getting an apartment just for my clothes. And I was like, no, you're not. No, you're not thinking about that. You're just talking out of your ass. Because like, what are you going to wear to drive over to the apartment to get dressed in?
That's true. The practicalities of that.
It's such bullshit. Like this is rich people or wannabe rich people talking out of their ass. Like it's one thing to be like, I have a whole bunch of like vintage stuff that I don't wear and you put it in a storage unit. That's a little different. Okay. But mm-hmm. like these are all clothes that she thinks that she's going to wear that she does wear. She's just a liar. That's my opinion is that, and that's my gut reaction is that she lies about a lot of stuff. And
yeah, and she's the house is 20,000 square feet and it's just two people. Well, three, if you count cousin Charlinda, and the son. Yeah. Where, you know, what if her house isn't really like that? I'm thinking, because when they were scanning her hoard, I don't even know, that was like 1,000 square foot room. It was like the size of most of condos and just filled to the brim. But I'm like, well, what about the other rooms? What if that's all her stuff and she threw it together on camera to give off like to really flex and show you all everything she has? Because she doesn't film outside of it.
Yeah, I mean, well, look, she's the poor man's Tiffany Moon. Because did you see Dallas and Tiffany Moon's closet?
Yeah, her closet.
Oh, my God. Lisa Vanderpump is jealous of that closet, too. Jeez Louise. Oh, man. It's like, no, girl, no. She's like, she's got plastic shelving that she somehow like slaps some like what looks like, you know, gold tape up there. I'm really coming for Mary too much. I'm sorry. Like people are going to be like, what do you have against Mary? I'll be like, I just have this gut feeling that she's a liar.
Oh,
and that
yeah,
she's a fraud.
I like, mean, her family, her relatives have come out and said, like, mm-hmm. she's delusional. She's a straight up liar, a scam artist. Yeah. Allegedly, in case Mary's listening.
Allegedly, that's what they say. And I'm just going with my gut that I just don't believe her. And this is my thing. Okay. Cause you know, Whitney calls her and tells her what happened. At least the only thing I agree with Mary on is that Mary said that Whitney should not have brought that up at Sharif's birthday party. And I was like, okay, at least you have some decorum on that. So you agree on that. But she says that, you know, again, she says that that all of them now, all of them are afraid of Jen, except for her. I was like, but you're not standing up to her. You're talking about her behind her back. You're trying to get her, you're trying to get other people to do your dirty work for you now. Like, because you didn't resolve stuff with her early on. You tried to put her in her place. She tried to apologize to you and then you didn't have it. You're scared of like, you're scared of her is my opinion.
Good point.
And then she just ends up, she's really using Whitney, you know, in order to like do this. Cause I don't think, I don't, I don't think Lisa is scared of Jen Shah. I don't think Meredith is. I don't think they said that. They have their own issues with Jen, but they're not going to go to Mary Cosby and talk about it with her unless it's on camera for the show.
Yeah. Oh, that's a really good point. I mean, Heather pointed out too that, like you said, they're not afraid of her. Or Mary said that they're afraid of Jen, but Jen really is afraid of losing them because of their social status.
Yeah.
So I don't think Jen's someone they're trying to aspire to be like or whatever. I think Jen's trying to keep up with them, with Meredith and Lisa.
I agree with you on that. Yeah. So Mary's just like, Mary is playing a child's game. She's playing like a high school girl's game of trying to be the popular one and the pretty one and the one with all the money. But it's like, why don't you just be like an honest, good person about it? Like, you don't have to be perfect. Nobody's perfect, but like, stop trying to put other people down. And that's what she's doing. She's like either trying to buy your love with Louis Vuitton earbuds or putting you down by saying you smell.
Mary is, I give her credit because she's only appeared about a minute in each of the last few episodes, always locked down in her closet. But she is making a pretty strong impact with her limited appearance.
And she is, yeah.
She stirs up the pot, summons these housewives into her closet of doom, and like, you know, it's like a war room.
Maybe she is smarter than I give her credit for. Maybe she is more of a mastermind since she's like manipulating all of them from her hoarder's closet.
Yeah.
Maybe I am completely wrong about this. Okay. Maybe she will prove me wrong. I still think that I am right, because I like to be right. But, you know.
I don't know if she'll be given a chance to prove it. I mean, it's been going on so long, I'm pretty sure her role is like friend of at best. Like, she gets as much screen time as QAnon Sarah at this point.
Yeah, pretty much. Well, they always say like the reunion can make or break you.
Yeah.
So, depends on how she does at the reunion. So we'll see. But let's move on to Heather and Beauty Lab 2.
Heather is putting the finishing touches, right, with construction on her new Beauty Lab.
Yeah. I wonder how that's going, because obviously that was happening right before coronavirus hit. So I hope everything's okay, you know, business-wise for that. Because then they were talking about taking a salary and her basically going to not take alimony anymore, you know, so which was, you know, good of her. And
she really wants, she's very serious about this business.
Yeah.
I mean, the point, she wants to build it up to get away from being supported by her ex. That's serious.
Yeah.
It's not like a, you know, some of these housewives, like Camille Grammer would have never done that.
No.
Yeah, she's serious.
And I think what Lisa's was missing in her clapback on social media last night about marrying for money, not for love, is that at least Heather seems to acknowledge the privilege that she had from marrying that money and divorcing it. And like, it allowed her, like she put everything though on hold. She put her entire life on hold for her husband and for her kids. And then she got divorced. And but she used that alimony to make her dreams come true. And now that they're coming true, she's not going to use that money anymore. And that is a lot of white privilege there. And I think it seems to me, maybe I'm just reading into this because I want to, but she seems to be acknowledging that. And I think that's also something that that Lisa should look at, is just be like, hey, you know, some people also are raised a certain way. And that's the way that Heather was raised, was to do that. Obviously, Lisa wasn't raised to do that, but at least Heather's not doing it anymore. Because Heather could have really just worked hard to find another husband to take care of her.
Yeah. What was I going to say? Lisa really misread the room with that comment, because what makes Heather so likable is she's really open and honest about her struggles and the privileges she's had and stuff. She's being her, which fell flat. He mean gold digger and, you know, pampered mother. I mean, you see her making breakfast for, you know, she struggles. And so like, It was just, that was really a stretch on Lisa's part. If she needed help with any sick Twitter burns, she should have hired me as her intern.
No, she needs to pay you for that.
Yeah. I'm willing to join Team Vita. She could pay me in tequila, but if anyone needs a Twitter feud with the Bravo Lab, come to Papa J.
Oh my God. I don't know. Papa J kind of gave me the willies right there. Oh my God. Okay. So we got to move on to Cialis time. Finally, I've been waiting weeks for this because we keep seeing like the Jen splashing the cameras, but it is time for the fight in the bathtubs, which was apparently at a spa, supposedly a spa. It looked like a hippie Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Yeah. Someone wrote it was where the Manson family lived.
Yes. Oh my gosh, dude, it was like, oh, I mean, it looked, this is the thing, that was kind of a cool setup, and the fact that it's hot springs out there, I was like, oh, once they got there, I was like, oh, okay, that's cool. But yeah, and I love the fact that like the woman just like checks them in. It's like usually at a spa, like somebody like walks you down to the changing rooms, or they would walk you up to the baths. It's like, no, it's just go down there.
Yeah, go crawl up that dirt hill in your flip flops.
Oh my gosh, jeez Louise. My overall note for the exchange in the bathtubs was that people keep trying to change Jen, but you can't change people, especially Jen Shaw. Like people change when they want to change. And Whitney, I felt Whitney just kept wanting Jen to change, wanting Jen to admit something. Whereas Heather just like knows that that's not going to happen, that Jen has to find her change on her own, and was like, you know, you have to own it. But I think Whitney is an optimist though, which is really nice. But what did you feel about the whole thing?
Whitney, we already discussed it a bit earlier. Whitney does not remember that evening based on her argument.
Yeah.
Yeah, Heather does accept Jen for who she is. And she's I wonder if she was like a middle child or something, because she's always very aware of the extreme personalities around her and how to just kind of compromise and make them come together. Like she knows when it's not worth a fight.
Yeah.
Or like when to run for cover.
We're going to have to dig in and find that out, because I would like to know that too. That's a really good observation. I did find it interesting though that like Heather apologized very quickly, which at first I was like, why is Heather apologizing? I was like, that seems to be like an old habit of hers. Just apologize. Like, just apologize to make it better. I mean, I got it later that she felt that it could have looked like her and Whitney were ganging up on Jen. So I was like, okay, I get why you're apologizing now. So, you know, this was more like in the cool down time after Jen had splashed and walked off and everything. But you know, at the
Jen
beginning,
was crying real tears there too.
Yeah.
She came back, her eyes were red. Like, I didn't find that to be an act.
No.
Like, I really think she was like driven, like she was super upset. And of course it wasn't all the Whitney thing, it was her marriage. But
and this is the thing too, that, and I'll defend Whitney on this, because other people don't ruin your marriage. Like, these are problems that you've been having, and Jen knows that. That's the thing, is that it's like she knows these things, but it's just easy to take it out on Whitney or to take it out on Heather, because, you know, it's just an easy target because they did do something not great there. But how Jen reacts, that's the issue. How Whitney reacts, that's the issue. How Coach Shaw reacts, that's the issue.
Jen actually blamed Whitney for Jen throwing the glass.
Right, which is not Whitney's fault. I was like, no, that's not Whitney's fault at all. Like, Jen has to take responsibility for her actions in that. And I think, and it's like an overarching thing. Like, it's a bigger thing, like we talked about at the beginning. You know, it's more about her father's death and her drinking and her other stuff that's going on in her marriage. And look, if her and Coach Shaw don't want to talk about like these little details about their marriage, what's going on, just like Seth and Meredith don't have to either, that's fine. But when you start taking shit out on people because your marriage is crap, that's not good. You need to at least do something. But her just saying,
I think they lean in a little bit too hard on it being Coach Shaw's job that keeps him away.
Agreed. Like,
he's an assistant coach. Their team is in the Pac-12, but they're not a tier one team. And she makes it sound like he's off like fighting wars or saving the country. Mm-hmm. They're not traveling like 300 days a year. That's an exaggeration.
Yeah. Well, she talks about him recruiting and doing a lot of recruiting, but still, like, there's time off. And we're talking about I don't think they were in a bowl game last year. I don't know. I don't keep tabs on Pac-12 anymore. Football.
Well, even if this was filming already, it was already in late January.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I just feel like I don't know what he's doing, but the way they build it up, like he's crisscrossing the world as an assistant coach to a Utah football team. I don't know.
I mean, we're snobs because we went to USC and UCLA. So we're like, Utah? Oh, like, at least you and I can gang up on Utah.
Yeah. We finally found common ground. Yeah,
we're like, really? No, I don't think so. You just joined it. Like, hello.
That's true. They're like asterisk 12. They're like newbies. Yeah. But yeah, so I don't know. I mean, I don't know what else goes on in their marriage. I mean, that conversation they had, though, was really productive. He's a really good communicator.
Yeah, he is. Oh, I did wonder a little bit if they had already had this conversation off camera, just because he did take it so well, but she was crying. She was full on crying and in it. And there did seem to be a look of shock on his face when she was like, I'm angry at you for not being there when my father died. So there's a little bit of me that was like, well, did they have this conversation off camera and are kind of repeating it a bit for the cameras or not? Just because, but also that's me and maybe my fucked up relationship habits of like dealing with men who, if I tell them what's going on, they just fly off the handle. Like, they don't take any responsibility do you know what I mean? I'm like, am I not believing this because that's not what's happened in my life? Because the way that Coach Shaw reacted, I was crying during that because I was crying for her for like what happened, but I was also crying because I was like really touched by the way that he comforted her. And he was like, I didn't realize that this was going on. And was like, okay, what do I need to do? What do you need from me? I was like, oh my gosh. I like, you don't see that on television and scripted shows. Like I have not personally experienced that in any of my relationships. I didn't see that in relationships that were examples for me growing up. So like, I really hope that was real. Like, and I'm saying that not in a way that's questioning it. So I don't want people to think that I'm like questioning it in that sense. It just is that I'm in disbelief because that's not what I've been shown. And
I mean, yeah, after watching that conversation, I could see why she values him so much. Mm-hmm. He's like wise and compassionate and logical. And it's like, I can see she's afraid that her craziness, she's the gas pedal and he's the brake.
Yeah.
And I think she's afraid she's edging closer to the cliff. And one day he's going to be like, you're enough. I can't take you. And, you know?
Yeah.
As I say, for a woman who comes off like Jen, kind of a bad bitch. And I mean that in a cool, good way. I mean, to see her so vulnerable and afraid to lose him, she respects him an incredible amount.
Mm-hmm.
So...
Well, they've been together for a long time, and I think that's really, I think she does have respect. Yeah, I think she does have respect for him, and I think he has respect for her. And mm-hmm. this also just, you know, 20 years is a long time to be with somebody. And I think around like the 20 year mark tends to be a time of real transition with most couples. So, you know, you start to become empty nesters, things start to change. So this can also just be a time of flux in their relationship period. So, mm-hmm. but yeah, I was touched by the conversation. I'm glad they had it. I'm glad they let it be filmed, that they both were vulnerable. Especially, you know, and Coach Shaw being a man, being a Black man, being a Muslim, being in a very masculine occupation, was willing to be open and vulnerable. Uh-huh. You know, I think that's needed, but that's just needed more because I think relationships benefit from that.
Look at how opposite Jen and Meredith, their marriage on this show at the same time, were both on the rocks. But for completely different reasons. Jen is too fiery, too needy, too passionate. And then Meredith is because like her marriage is fizzling out because she's withdrawn, mm-hmm. disengaging, ice cold.
It's so true. It's
yeah, they so had to true. Like meet in the middle. Jen has to tone herself down and Meredith has to like warm herself up.
Oh my gosh. Oh, okay. So I want to end on this on a lighter note, even though we didn't end the episode on this. The whole Lisa's dinner in the fucking yurt thing. Yeah. Okay. I'm so fucking tired of this whole women lifting other women up dinners type of thing. Like, let's have this exclusive dinner. Like, oh, no. I'm all about uplifting women, but guess what? I'm not going to invite certain women to this yes. dinner. That's the complete opposite of it, Lisa. I'm sorry to inform you of this, but that's the opposite. But these are also like, this is what they are. These are networking events for mm-hmm. uppity women, because usually it's also all talk and no walk. Like, if you really want to uplift other women, give them jobs, hire them, buy their goods. You know what I mean? Don't just like take some Instagram photos and be like, women uplifting women, here we are. And like, let's tag each other and just like comment on each other's stuff. No, do something actually active. Like, all this stuff, it's just bullshit.
They're not even uplifting. There's like, they're not, who are they uplifting? It was a closed circle of wealthy, privileged, powerful women. Like,
right. It was so masturbatory. It was like, how wonderful are we yeah. all?
They don't need uplifting. They weren't help giving a hand up or a hand out to someone in need.
No.
And we've seen that women lifting, uplifting women thing for Ramona. That's her go-to yes. the past few seasons. Ugh. Heather was funny on Twitter. Someone said, why wasn't Heather invited to that, or Jen? Like, they run businesses and they're... And yeah. Heather replied, it looks like she was trying to audition these women to be her new friends.
Like... That's a good one.
Yeah.
Oh,
it was
gosh.
Like Ramona's circle. Like, remember her 50 friends at the girlfriends at the birthday yes. party? It was just these random women who came like, clearly hoping they'd get a shot at being on the show.
Yeah. They're like bloggers. I'm a fashion blogger. Who isn't a fashion blogger? I mean, look, am I a little jealous that I didn't get invited to dinner in a yurt, you know, and be filmed? Yes, of course I am, because I want to be fabulous too. But oh my gosh, like, this is under the pretense of women uplifting women and doing all this stuff. It's bullshit. Also, we've learned... In stark contrast, not in stark contrast, I don't know if anybody else watches Orange County. I mean, I watch Orange County too, still. I don't know why, but I still do it. But like, Bronwyn had been shacking up with that Shari friend of hers, but she kept talking about, well, Shari uplifts me and Shari does this and Shari does that. Literally at the end of the season, end of the episode, right before this episode, it talks about how Bronwyn and Shari no longer talk. Oh, really? Oh, I'm so fucking surprised.
Yeah.
And that seems to be all the time. Like, all of a sudden, like, we're best friends. We're best girlfriends. We lift each other up. And this has been the friend that I've always missed. And, da, da, da. And then 6 months later, you no longer talk to this bitch ever again. That's what happens.
Yep.
So that's why I'm like, this stuff, I'm so tired of. Like, staying friends and dealing with hardships is fine. Like, that's what you do. If you need a little break from a friend, I totally get that. But don't start like fawning over, love bombing, you know, new people just because you think that they're going to fix your old problems. Nope. They just follow you. They just follow you.
Yeah.
Follow you into a yurt
pattern. Mm-mm. It makes me uncomfortable.
Very.
I'm like, if you can fall in love with me that fast, you can turn around and hate me that quickly. Like, I don't like that. I don't like that kind of, if they're able to shift in a, you know, it's stability I crave. Mm-hmm. I don't, I'm suspicious of overly friendly people or, you know.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, it's like in your chart, Jordan, that you crave stability. That's it. You know, it's your, yeah. It's your moon in Virgo. Then you crave stability. There you go.
Yeah.
All right.
I mean, I don't want to discourage people from asking for my autograph or anything, but.
No. Oh, no, that's fine. Like, no, like being famous is one thing.
Yeah. You guys. Love me from a distance, but no, that sounds horrible, but no.
It's like, tweet at me, don't stalk me.
Yeah.
That's what it all is.
Well,
all right. Well, I think that's it for this week's episode.
Yeah. I don't even remember the preview for next. We'll see.
I don't either. What There's just it? So much. Sometimes I'm like, wait a minute, what's going on here? Everything.
This season's coming to an end soon. They filmed the reunion.
Yeah. I mean, well, first seasons tend to be quick. So,
yeah.
I mean, I was thinking it was like with all the, when Jen Shaw gets mad a lot, I'm like, sometimes I want to go, Jen, this isn't Real Housewives of New Jersey.
Yeah.
We don't throw things like this. But, you know, maybe it will a little bit, but it's interesting. No shade, but just, but the, you know, the New Jersey trailer just dropped. And so I was like, oh yeah, they're throwing all kinds of stuff around on New Jersey again. Yeah, I was like, oh, they do that all the time. Mm-hmm. Prostitution whore. All right. Well, that's a wrap from us. Make sure you follow Jordan and me on IG and Twitter. You know, Jordan, he's Lee, he's Dawn. He's Jordan. I'm Real Stacey Connor. And don't forget to hit that subscribe button so that we pop up first thing every Friday morning with those new episodes. And always rate us on Apple Podcasts because we're whores. And we need love from random strangers. So just give us 5 stars and tell us how fabulous we are. All right. Thanks, guys. Say goodbye, Jordan.
Adios.